Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. And so I want to open the Bible today to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 7. I want to teach you something that I think is so important, and it'll help you while you fast. If you've never done this, don't be afraid. It's intimidating, but you can do this. And if you have health issues, then you rearrange the fast. And if you have work issues, there'll never be a convenient time to fast. Somebody's always going to have a party. Somebody's always going to buy food and bring it into the office and everybody come eat it. It's free. Seems like that happens exactly on the fast every time. Free pizza, all you can eat. Whatever you want, it's there. Krispy Kreme will show up in strange places. But the power in it is even when the preacher said, eat the cupcake, something in him said, what I have for you compared to a cupcake, to those who seek me, to those who knock, to those who ask, to those who start the year off and seek first the kingdom of God, just know God sees it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shall be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, their courses above, join with all nature in manifold wisdom. To thy great mercy, mercy and love, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 besides. I love to proclaim this song over a new year. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Say it with boldness, confidence, absence of fear. Great is
I don't care what you're walking through. Thy faithfulness. We decree it over our families this year. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13. Now King Solomon sent and brought Hiram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom, Hiram, a carpenter, a worker, an artist, made things with his hands. Solomon's building a temple for God. Was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all of his work. Verse 18 talks about the pillars. And the next multiple verses all the way down to 21 does nothing but focus on details of pillars, two pillars that this man made with his hands for the temple. And he set up pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillar on the right and called its name Jason. And he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. So the work of the pillars was finished. It was not finished until the top was done. And I want you to see what was taking place in this verse and how it relates to fasting and how it relates to what we're going to be doing for the next 21 days around this place. Again, this is the secret source of power for this ministry. The temple that Solomon built needed skilled workers. It would require 7.5 years of building. There were 80,000 who worked in the rock quarries. There were 120,000 in all who built the temple, working night and day. It was a masterful building. And he hired over it for the details of skilled work a man by the name of Hiram. Hiram's mother was an Israelite. She was a woman of faith, but his father was an idol worshiper. And he built idols, according to the commentaries. He built idols with his hands. So you have a family who has a mother of faith and a father who is a good builder, and he transferred the skills of building to his son, and the son chose to use his talent and his gifting to build the kingdom of God. He was influenced by the faith of his mother more than the idol worship of his father. And he used the skills and the giftings that he had for one reason, to build the kingdom of God. He said, I'm going to use my talents and my efforts this year to build the kingdom of God. And Hiram begins to create these pillars. These pillars were set out front of the temple of Solomon, and they have a picture of if you follow the directions in the Bible's very specific. These two pillars that you see, those brass, really, they were overladen with gold. They were made of brass, and then they were covered with gold. But what is interesting about them is he gives numerous details, and they have several pictures, I think. Show the other one, because it gives more of the details. You can see the skilled work of what it must have looked like. Solid gold covering it. Brass on the inside covered by gold. 7 long verses detail the pillars in the temple. And they were so important that he even gave them names. There was something about these pillars, and every detail was instructed. Outside of the temple, one of the names meant God will establish in strength. So you see these powerful, these strong pillars, these tall, 34 and a half feet tall. You cannot imagine the magnitude of this project and all the details. And they were made of brass, covered in gold, but all of that was not complete until the decoration of the lily was made on the top of those pillars. And what is interesting about that is on the very top of the pillar, Hiram created a decoration, a lily work is what the text called it, that nobody could even see. He created something beautiful. It took him hours and hours and days and weeks of incredibly intense work and workmanship. And nobody could ever even see it. It was on the top of the pillars. Nobody decorates their attic. Nobody goes up in their attic and has it all beautifully, unless you're weird or you're living in it. If you go in my attic, it has boxes, it has Christmas decorations, you see sheetrock, you see studs, you see bare wood, you see the bracing of our roof, because nobody's gonna see it. Why would I worry about the attic? Nobody ever goes in there and sees it. What was happening with Hiram is so important, because he understood that what he was building for God and what he was doing for God, that from the ground up, people would see the beautiful, shiny gold sparkle of the beautiful work of those 34 and a half foot pillars. But when he was doing the lily work, only God would see it. From the ground up, people would see those pillars, but he was doing something up top that only God would see. And that's what I'm preaching on. Fasting is the power of doing the unseen. And God sees the unseen, because man can see what he can see from the ground up. But God was looking down, and when he was doing this artistry on this pillar, he was saying, God, I'm doing this for you. He was saying, God, you see the unseen. And the part of, that you care about is what people don't see. It's the unseen. They were tall, they were strong, but they were not complete unless there was something going on in the unseen. And you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit according to the new covenant. And it's not just us showing up shiny and bright and sparkling and looking like Christians in church on Sunday morning. People see that. But God looks at our heart. God looks at the unseen. God sees when we take the hammer and the chisel and hours we read this book when nobody sees it. We pray when nobody sees it. We fast when nobody sees it. We give when nobody sees it. We forgive. We resist temptation when nobody sees it. We give up and sacrifice for him, and nobody sees it from the ground up, but from the throne down, God sees us working on the lilies. God is interested in the moments in your life that nobody knows you're praying. Nobody knows you're fasting. Nobody knows you are reading your Bible. It's really a private thing. This is the lily work of Christianity. And it's wonderful to be saved and come to church and worship with thousands of believers. It's amazing. It's powerful. But the thing that impresses God is when you say, but really I'm not fasting to fast with millions of people around the world. We had 84 countries already sign up for the fast, and praise God for all of that. But it's not about that. What God will see this week is you saying no to the flesh. You say no to the time that you normally would just go into neutral and watch TV or whatever, but you are saying, I can't live this way all the time, but for the next 21 days, I am going to do this for you. I'm taking the hammer. I am not going to have 21 days of normal life the next 21 days. I am rearranging everything in my life to say, you mean more to me than anything. And I don't care what people see. I want you to see that you're number one in my life. I love you with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. And I'm getting my body, I'm letting my spirit get strong so my body will get back in alignment with the will of God. Amen. God sees the stuff that nobody else sees. God sees behind closed doors every sacrifice, every time we could, but we don't, because He sees. He sees. When you pray, when you worship in private, He sees. Think of that man up there working day after day, week after week, and nobody on earth would ever see it, but God saw it, and God blessed him, and God used him. Nobody will ever know, Hiram, what are you doing? The Bible said the temple was not complete, and your temple, you may be saved and you may be on your way to heaven, but I'm telling you, it's the lily work that God takes note of. God sees if you're really after Him. God sees, and I'm glad you're saved and you're going to heaven, but there's so much more to living for God than just going, what would happen, Dad? What would happen, Mom? What would happen? What would happen, business person, if you said to God the next 21 days, people see my success, but I want you to know that I'm going to give you the glory with these next 21 days, because I'm nothing without you. And I recognize it's your wisdom, it's your favor, it's your goodness, it's your kindness, it's your generosity that has blessed my life. And how can I not but burn incense day and night for the next 21 days in fasting and in prayer? I don't care how tall you stand outwardly and publicly. I don't care how much brass you have, how much shiny gold you have. I don't care if you look 34 feet tall. We've seen enough of our heroes that look so tall, but what was going on in the lily work stuff is what really matters. And that's why I love this fast, because I'll speak for myself. It brings me back to my knees. It shows me when I get to fasting about the third or fourth day, I tell you, stuff will start coming up in me, and the Lord will convict me, and the Lord will say, you need to come back in line with this and this attitude and this, and I didn't like that, and I need you to stay. You don't even realize how proud you are. You don't even realize how off you are. But when you start fasting, it just starts bringing things up. And God says, let's remove that. Let's remove that. And I don't know if I would be here. If we hadn't done that 30 years of fasting, it's in those moments that God has corrected me, and God has even chastened me, and God has whipped me and said, now, don't forget this when you're back in your carnal state, that I don't like that. You're not complete until there's a part that man doesn't ever see. You don't really have a strong Christian walk if all you do is come to church and believe the Bible and love God and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and you are a Christian and you're going to be saved. And I'm not minimizing that, but you really don't have much. You're not complete until you have a part that people don't see. a devotion, a consecration, a reading of the Word of God, a love for God, a worship, a heart after God. Times when you're alone and we can't afford in 2024 to look like Christians and to sound like Christians, but never have one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ, because the storm is coming. And when the storm comes, the pillows that will be strong are the pillows who've done in private with God what makes them strong when the storm comes. What makes Hiram take so much time, hours and days and weeks? So much could have been done publicly that people would have oohed and aahed about. But God saw it. God saw the on the top where nobody else could see but God. God sees that stuff. He sees when you say no and nobody's looking. He sees when you say, Lord, I'm fasting, and the flesh cries out and says, you're here by yourself, just eat. That's the moment that God says, oh, look at him pull the hammer out. Look at him go open that book. Look at him turn that TV and that come get their face out of Facebook and get it in my book. I love that. God says, look at that. Look at that teenager. Look at that college student. Look at that businessman taking his lunch hour and going and reading the Bible. They don't see it, but he sees it. Don't go around talking. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, what you do in private when you pray, go in the closet. Be quiet. Go in there and go in the closet and do it privately. And I see that stuff. I see that private giving. I see that private knocking and seeking and asking. I see you fasting. I see it. This stuff matters. You're not complete as a Christian until you're doing some things just because you love the Lord so much. It's lonely sometimes, I'm sure, Hiram, up there working on stuff that nobody will ever see. Praying up there all by yourself. We quote the Song of Solomon, and there's a beautiful song that talks about he's the lily of the valley. But the Song of Solomon, I hate to mess up a great song, but... When that verse, that famous verse, he's the lily of the valley, the lily of the valley is not in reference to Jesus. It's in reference to the bride. Jesus is the groom. It's the Song of Solomon, and he's in love with his bride, and he's writing it to his bride. So the bride is the lily. The bride is the one who's saying, I love being alone with you. I'm the lonely lily in the valley. I love being in this place of consecration with you. And it feels a little bit when you're fasting like you're in a valley, but it's not a valley. It's you saying there's nothing between me and you. I've left all the other voices down there. That from the ground up, they can talk, but we're up here now. And I love nothing being between me and you. I love that. That's why I do what I do. That's why I gave my life to you. That's why it's not about all of that down there, but I'm doing the lily work these 21 days. And it matters to God. God says there's power in doing the unseen by man, but the seen by God. In my alone time, I say, I love you. In my alone time, I say, I honor you. That's what God is interested in, the stuff that nobody else sees. Do you have a complete walk with God, or do you just have a shiny, goldy, public? Man looks on the outside, but God looks at that heart. Jesus told the Pharisees, outwardly, you look like whitened sepulchers, but inwardly, you're full of dead men's bones. If the Lord looks at you, if people look at you, they may say, he looks like a wonderful, she looks like a great Christian. But God says, I'm looking at what other people can't see. Spend time on the stuff that nobody can see. these 21 days. Spend time worshiping in your car. Nobody can see it but you and God. Listening to the word. Praising him on walks. Just walking and going on walks and loving the Lord and coming back from an hour of prayer. That's stuff that nobody can see, but oh, it's the secret. The secret is not what you do in public. The secret is what you do in private that God sees that pleases him. In Leviticus chapter 11, there's the dietary laws. And think this is Old Testament, so we can eat whatever we want, but you can't during this 21 days. And the stuff that they could eat and the stuff they couldn't eat. And the bottom line of it is that God said, if the hoof is split, you can eat it. If the hoof is split, you can eat it. And the other requirement, but they also have to have a stomach that can chew cud. And if they've got that, so that means there were things they could eat and things they couldn't. For example, it lists things like buzzards. You couldn't, and you know, I can fast that the rest of my life. You could not eat a buzzard because he doesn't have the split. And you couldn't eat possums. It mentions possums. All you rednecks, possums. But the big one was swine, pigs, hogs. You couldn't eat them under the old law. Because here's the strange thing, a swine has a split hoof. But its stomach, it lacks the inner parts. It doesn't have the ability to chew the cud, to take it in and meditate. It's what really the word meditation comes from, that. It's taking it in and chewing on it and meditating and renewing your mind and renewing your thoughts and getting your thinking right and getting yourself in alignment with the word of God. And so really, really when the spirit of the swine is, you look like a Christian on the outside, but what you have on the inside is not capable of allowing the word to change you. That's why the demons asked to go into the swine, because they knew they could be most productive in someone who looks right on the outside, but is not right on the inside. And the spirit of the swine says, I don't have to pray. I'll just let the preacher do the praying. I don't have to read the Bible. I'll let my wife do the Bible reading. I don't have to give. They got plenty of money. I'll just do what I want to do. You have the spirit of the swine. You're welcome. This is what you are on the outside. But on the inside, you're not taking the word of God and it's getting in you. The word of God gets in you. The word of God changes you. The word of God aligns you. The word of God says it's not about me. It's about him and every way that I can build the kingdom of God. That's what I want to do with my life. When nobody's looking. The Bible is how you get clean on the inside. Don't you want to be clean on the inside? Don't you want to be clean in your thoughts? Don't you want to be clean and innocent in your motives, in your dreams, in your aspirations? Don't you want to be cleansed of unforgiveness and bitterness and gossip? You know, the spirit of the swine, when a pig is wounded and hurt and cut bad, if they don't get it out of the pen, the other swine will turn around and eat it to death. When they see one wounded, they begin to rip it to pieces. It's like a bunch of Christians. When you see a brother or a sister who's wounded and we just start attacking and devouring them with our mouths, that's the spirit of the swine. I don't want to be a Christian on the outside and be ugly and mean and have a bad spirit and talk about everybody and criticize everybody. God, on this fast, get that out and give me the Word of God on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Do you know that Adam, as long as there was a close walk with God, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there a long time, and what was on the outside never got on the inside as long as he was walking with God. But when he stopped walking with God and he became this kind of Christian, who just comes to church and says, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to change much of my life. You have the spirit of the swine. And you have to realize that the thing that God is looking for in your life is that private part that nobody sees. And there you are in your bedroom, and all your friends are doing this and doing that. And there you are, early in the new year, and you're reading the Word of God. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. I just opened that. I was wondering where it was going. They marveled. They're not educated. They're not professional. They're not super trained. They marveled that they had been alone with Jesus. When you get alone with Jesus, favor comes on you. When you get alone with Jesus, the wisdom of God is imparted to you. When you get alone with Jesus, the will of God begins to be invoked into your life. When you get alone with Jesus, he says, I will rearrange things this year for their life. I will order their steps. I will bless them and keep them. When you get alone, they took note of them. Isn't that amazing? They had been with Jesus. Not the brass, not the shiny, not the look how well they speak and how talented and gifted they are. They've been with Jesus. You know, Solomon, I'm almost done, but Solomon had 700 concubines and 300 wives. I don't know. I don't know if he is the wisest man in the world or not. Somebody said he had that many so he could come home and find one in a good mood. Amen. I don't know that. That's a bad joke. Turn to your wife and say, that's not you. What was I going to say right here, Lord? Here. Most people don't know that when Solomon built the temple, a magnificent temple that I've been preaching on, that those wives were from Egypt and all over, and they worshiped multiple gods. And they said to him, they got together and came to him and said, you built your God a house, build our God a house, Baal. And most people don't know that when Solomon built the temple for Jehovah, he also put just as much money and just as much effort in building the temple to Baal. The only difference between the two temples was the one that was built for Jehovah had the lilies that nobody saw on the top. And I'll tell you why, because the other temple didn't have a God up in heaven on a throne looking down, but that Jehovah did. So time goes by. Jesus shows up in the flesh. And in Luke chapter 12, he gathers his disciples and he makes a profound statement. Consider the lilies, how they grow, yet they toil not, they spin not. It's effortless. The lilies, things just happen for them because really, and I think he probably paused right there because he was the one that Hiram built it. He's the same God. Jesus is just God in skin. He was there looking down and he remembers this guy. How they grow and they toll and they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory, oh, he had the glitter, he had the bronze, he had the brass, he had the gold covering. Oh, everybody from the ground up said, look at Solomon. But he said, I tell you, not one, even Solomon in his glory, was arrayed like one of these lilies. Who gives me that time? I see the unseen. I see what people don't see. And I close with this as he comes, as they come. Joel chapter 2. This is what the Bible said would happen if we fast. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart. Listen, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Turn to me with all of your heart, and I'll know that you're working on the lilies. I'll know that you're doing the unseen when I see fasting. And at some point, you'll get broken, and it probably be alone, but you'll weep for that lost child. You'll weep for that son that's addicted. You'll weep. You'll get a burden again. You'll realize that life is just bumping along, but this life does not consist of the abundance of things. And you'll even have mourning. I believe that has to do with your personal convictions that you will mourn that you've strayed so far. You will realize I needed a revival in my soul. God, I'm coming back to you. He said, I want you to, the next verse, to rend your heart and not your garments. I don't want to see the outward stuff on this fast. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Do you know what that verse means? That verse means God was going to send judgment to situations in your life, but he said, because you fast and pray, I'll turn around and I'll relent and I'll repent, is another way that word in the King James. I'll repent of what I was going to do and I'll give you mercy instead of judgment. I'll leave a blessing out of when you should have gotten judgment. Wow. Let me hasten. But not really, because you ain't got nowhere to go and you ain't got nothing to do. I'm working on the lilies. Verse 18 is, or 15 is so powerful. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. That's what we'll be doing at 5 o'clock this afternoon. For 1 hour, we'll worship and we'll pray. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Again, we've been doing this for 30 years. Does it work? Gather the children and the nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber. Let the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. This is what the body of Christ needs. Repentance. weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should the people say, where is their God? He said, then the Lord will be zealous in the land, and he will pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, if they fast, if they call a sacred fast in assembly, the Lord will have pity on his people. Then the Lord will say, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Verse 23, and I'll cause the rain to come from the former and the latter. I'm going to send quick things. Things that should take 6 years will take 6 months. It's a moving, an acceleration. The vats will overflow with new wine. So I will restore to you the years. The locusts have eaten. The ones that fly and the ones that crawl. One of them flies through and eats external stuff up, consumes the external, and one of them crawls under the ground and it eats at the roots of everything good. He said, I'm going to restore the years that they have eaten up. My great army, which I sent among you. I'm almost done. You shall eat in plenty. Everybody say plenty. That's a lot. Plenty means a lot. I used to preach this when we needed desperately $300,000 for a piece of land, and I felt like we'd never get it. I thought it'd take 20 years to get back then. I used to stand and preach this, and I would go on those 21-day fasts, and back then I was young and dumb, and I would do the liquid fast a lot. I'd lose right before the eyes of the people 21 pounds every year. But he said we would eat in plenty. We don't owe anybody anything on anything that we have. We don't owe any debt. Come on. That's not an accident. That's not by chance. And praise the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you. Oh, and my people shall never be put to shame. God said, no more shame, no more shame after this fast. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the shame of the past. No more shame. Then he says it again in case you didn't get it in the same verse or the next verse. He said, I am the Lord your God and there's none beside me, and my people will never be put to shame. Clap your hands and say, no shame, no shame, no shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And the handmaidens and the servants I'll pour out of my spirit in those days. Then he talks about the signs of the times. This is dealing with the nearness of the coming of the Lord. In verse 32, he says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to this. For in Mount Zion or the church, for in the church, Free Chapel, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. I claim that for natural Israel on this fast. And I claim that for spiritual Israel, that there will be deliverance in this house. Deliverance from tobacco, deliverance from nicotine, deliverance from vapes that are killing you, killing a whole generation. Corporate America has outlawed basically smoking cigarettes and replaced it with something even worse, chemical cigarettes. Oh, you don't like that. But deliverance. deliverance from alcoholism, deliverance from drinking, deliverance from sexual perversion, deliverance from pornography, deliverance from evil, deliverance from depression, deliverance from heart disease, deliverance from high blood pressure, deliverance from cancer, deliverance from diabetes, deliverance. God, grant deliverance on this fast from demon powers and demon spirits. Deliverance. Clap your hands and pray, bind the devil, and call out deliverance for your children and your children's children. Deliverance from evil.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.